Two people have died in a plane crash in the interior, and four others on board the small aircraft have survived. The single-engine Cessna 207 departed Saturday from McGrath, about 225 miles northwest of Anchorage. A pilot and Iditarod School District employees were among those on board, and they were heading to the village of Anvik, which is about 140 miles to the west. Trooper spokeswoman Beth Ibsen says the survivors are being flown to an Anchorage hospital. Ibsen says the identities of the six on board the Inland Aviation Service aircraft are not immediately being released. Two men waded to shore when their small plane came up short at the end of the runway at the Kodiak Airport and landed in the water. Coast Guard spokesperson Charlie Hengen says the Piper PA-32 is owned by Island Air. The pilot and a mechanic were on a check run Friday when the accident occurred. Their names haven't been released yet. Hengen says the plane had a mechanical failure while on approach and landed in the water about 50 feet from shore. The two men aboard climbed out, waded to shore, and waited for emergency responders. There was a light sheen around the aircraft, but it was quickly dissipated. The company used a front end loader to bring the aircraft ashore, and it was taken to the company hangar. Here in Juneau, a house fire was put out by firefighters very early Friday morning that may have started with an electric fish smoker. The fire at 15220 Glacier Highway caused about $60,000 worth of damage, according to Deputy Fire Marshal Sven Pearson. The smoker was put on a back wood deck, and the fire appeared to travel up the side of the residence and into the attic. Smoke detectors were credited for waking the occupants or helping them escape the fire that was called in before 1:30 Friday morning. The new school year likely starting on a sour note for some students. Juneau police say they recovered a set of musical instruments stolen from Floyd Dryden Middle School and dumped in a nearby creek. Officers are not saying how many instruments or what kind, but they were found in a stream near Kiowa Drive yesterday morning. Their value estimated at $6,600. Also unclear is whether there was any damage or any other damage to the school or any other items stolen from the school. Today is the last day to file to become a candidate for Juneau School Board or the CBJ Assembly. The filing period closes today, and so far only one candidate, Sally Sadler, is running for the school board, though there are two seats which will be vacant this fall. Five official candidates have filed for election to the Assembly, and a sixth says he will file before the deadline. Carlton Smith is the latest to file for the area-wide seat, which has two other contenders, Jenny Del Rosario and Lauren Jones. District 1 has only one candidate, Jesse Keel, though Brad Flitch is expected to apply by close of business today. Randy Wanamaker is the only candidate for District 2. All are three-year terms. Candidate forms are available in the Municipal Clerk's Office at City Hall, or you can also find them online at juneau.org/clerk/elections. That deadline is 4:30 today. The most powerful icebreaker in the world is now being built, and it will belong to China. That was among the revelations made by a worried Coast Guard commandant to a U.S. Senate hearing on Friday. Admiral Robert Papp has just returned from a trip to the North Slope, and he laid out plans for how the Coast Guard plans to maintain a presence in the Arctic Ocean next summer when and if the oil and gas industry starts its exploratory drilling offshore. Steve Heimel has the story.
Buoy tenders. Ice-capable buoy tenders. That's the kind of vessel they plan to use next summer, Admiral Papp told Senator Mark Begich.
It's our intention next summer to bring up a couple of ships, which I call ice-capable. We have 225-foot buoy tenders, our WLBs. We have 16 of them in service. They're very versatile, capable ships. We use them for breaking ice on the Great Lakes, and in fact, we have one of them deployed in the eastern Canadian Arctic this summer in Operation Nanook. We have once before sent one up to the North Slope, and it was probably the most successful large cutter that we've had up there. It has an ice-strengthened hull. It can do minimal ice breaking. It's my intention at this point to send two of them up next summer because I think we have the capacity to do that, and trying to keep at least a one-ship presence at all times up there as exploration starts.
In a fast-paced back and forth, the Admiral laid out the situation. The Coast Guard can station helicopters on shore, but it needs something on the water for enforcement, spill response, and search and rescue. The buoy tender should be able to push through the summer sea ice, he hopes. Their biggest drawback is that they don't have pads for launching and landing helicopters. Activity in Arctic waters by other nations is picking up, the admiral said.
Up in the Arctic Circle, as you know, the ice conditions continue to diminish, and an entire new ocean is emerging.
Besides the oil industry's vessel traffic, scientific cargo and even cruise ships will be moving through the Bering Strait and through U.S. fishing grounds next year. It's obvious that the nation's only Arctic state is a huge priority for the commandant, who was stationed in Adak years ago. He made a point of coming to Alaska shortly after he took charge last year. The nation has just 3 icebreakers, and 2 are in dry dock or being repaired and refurbished. The remaining icebreaker, the Healy, runs a heavy schedule of scientific work through the summer in the Chukchi and Beaufort Seas. Papp said he can't even spare the Healy to go south to break way to the U.S. Antarctic station in McMurdo Sound, when the National Science Foundation has lost the one it was leasing from Sweden to other duties. The admiral is beefing up Coast Guard presence elsewhere in Alaska as well, and he listed what he's bringing in during the field hearing of the Senate Commerce Subcommittee, starting with a rescue helicopter to replace the MH-60 that crashed last year in Washington State as it was being transported to Air Station Sitka, killing 3.
Operations in Sitka are too important to allow them to go below 3 helicopters. We're also pleased that Congress has since appropriated funding to replace this helicopter. Additionally, I'm temporarily assigning a 5th HH-60 helicopter at Kodiak to support the crab season, and in 2013, I will permanently assign an HH-60 pending appropriation in the FY12 budget request. I also plan to station 2 of our new Sentinel-class fast response cutter patrol boats in Ketchikan. In the interim, I'm moving one of our older patrol boats, a 110-foot patrol boat, from Miami to Ketchikan until the FRCs arrive.
Papp made a pitch for funding to build more big national security cutters like the Berthoff, which patrolled the Bering Sea this year. 5 more are on the way, and he wants 8. And as for icebreakers, he said that in 1957 the nation had 8 of them, largely because President Roosevelt had simply ordered them built during the Second World War. He said we need a national call to action on icebreakers. But nobody was seeing any will at all in today's Congress at the moment to pay for building even 1 new one. In Anchorage, I'm Steve Heimel.
A competency hearing is planned for sometime in the next few weeks for a Huna man accused of shooting and killing 2 police officers a year ago. Trial for John Marvin Jr. was originally set for last December, but a psychiatric evaluation and the sheer volume of evidence produced during discovery have delayed proceedings. Marvin appeared in Juneau Superior Court on Friday, his white beard now largely shaved off, but his black hair still in a ponytail. He was dressed in red prison garb with his hands cuffed and shackled close to his waist. His ankles were also cuffed and chained. Marvin did not say anything as his defense attorney Eric Hedlund and Judge David George discussed a motion concerning the admissibility of evidence. The date of the competency hearing has not been set yet. It hinges on when the defense's expert can submit his own report. Hedlund has filed notice that he intends to present an affirmative defense based on insanity, that Marvin cannot appreciate what happened because of mental disease or defect. The defense usually has the burden of proof in such cases. Marvin, now 46 years old, is being charged with murder and weapons misconduct charges. That's in connection with the August 28th shooting of Huna officers Tony Wallace and Matt Tokuoko. Marvin also allegedly held other officers at bay for over a day following the shooting.